views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent or that of the program, its presenters, hosts, directors, or other team members.
This show is intended for audiences aged 23 and older. This production and its digital copies contain content of an adult nature. If you are easily offended or under the age of 18, this show is not intended for you. The posts, pages, and recordings within are intended for adults only and may include descriptions of scenes of sexual content, suggestive opinions, detailed discussions, and graphic topics. Listener discretion is advised.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent or that of the program, its presenters, hosts, directors, or other team members.
This show is intended for audiences aged 23 and older. This production and its digital copies contain content of an adult nature. If you are easily offended or are under the age of 18, this show is not intended for you. The posts, pages, and recordings within are intended for adults only and may include descriptions of scenes of sexual content, suggestive opinions, detailed discussions, and graphic topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Lola's Lessons.
It's time for Lola's Lessons.
Good evening, Lustfuls, and welcome to Lesson 9 in Semester 3 of Lola's Lessons. Let me start the evening off as usual by thanking the endorsement site, Lola's favorite friends, yes, you guys know, at the COF, the Council of Fantasy. The Council of Fantasy is a lifestyle-orientated community catering for everybody and anybody that wants to learn and enhance their intimate relationships, wants to learn more about sex positivity, body positivity, mind positivity, and how to move closer to your relationship by means of intimacy. We host workshops, we do events. I mean, we've got a women's empowerment group. We've also got an education group. Come on over to www.councilofantasy.co.za. Head up, sign up, and come and join us. Otherwise, you guys can head on over to Lola's website at www.lalustfm. Yes, la lovelies, it's lalust with a double L. www.lalustfm.live. Scroll on over to the bottom of the homepage. Click on the WhatsApp icon and come and join the WhatsApp community at the COF. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we have been trending the most the past 5 weeks. I mean, the first four weeks of the past five weeks, we were trending number one. Last week, we dropped down only one position to number two. Listen, we're still beating Joe Rogan at his own game. Okay. And I mean, that says a lot. Ms. Combs, what do you say about this?
About the fact that we're still trending after 4 weeks.
Five.
Well, have you seen yourself? Have you heard yourself?
Listen. So we got to tell the listeners, we were approached by television, right? We possibly going to television. So this is saying a lot. But here's my concern, right, Combs? I don't know. I've got the face for radio.
I disagree, and you know it.
Listen, the other day I said that on the COF. I was like, yeah, I've got a face for radio, you guys. So one of the guys says, aren't you just fishing for compliments? And I'm going, no, I'm being serious. Have you heard this voice of mine? Everybody loves a husky one, right? Ladies and gentlemen, this evening we are doing something a little bit different. I'm sure I've told you a little bit earlier in the show that we're doing it a little bit differently this evening because we are actually, this is Thursday night for us, right, Combs?
Yep.
I mean, tonight's Thursday night. It's not really Friday night. And we're going to be listening to this tomorrow going, oh, what a throwback Thursday.
Are we going back to the future? No, we're going forwards to the past. I don't know where we're going. We're going to great places. Okay.
We're going to Orgasm World. That's all that's the only place we want to go. But before we get there, just for listeners, last week we did the cheaters class. Okay. Last week Friday we had Kaz here. Kaz was absolutely brilliant. I mean, Lola did a live, what do you call it? A lie detector test on air. That was a lot of fun. Okay.
Polygraph.
There we go. Thank you very much, Miss Carmen. But like I said to you guys last week, right, this is a two-part series. Last week we did the cheater class. We found out why do people cheat? Mm. We found out what does cheating look like in different relationships? Mm. This week we're looking at something completely different and we are finding out is there intimacy after infidelity? And for this segment, I knew exactly what person we wanted for the segment when I heard her podcast. Right. When I went and I read up about this lady, I knew this is going to be the lady that I wanted for this segment. And aren't we lucky? I mean, we've struggled a little bit with technical difficulties this evening, but what is a wonderful show and an epic show without some technical difficulties, right? Combs? You wanted to say something there?
Oh no, absolutely. And I'm so glad that you found Trace. You found her quite a while ago, didn't you? When did you book this mysterious guest slot?
You know what? Originally, season two, Okay, which was last year with Holly. Season two was going to be a little bit longer. Then we decided to break season two up and make season two and a season three. So this guest this evening was already booked last year. Last year, October was the first time I spoke to her. And I mean, I think she was touring Dubai when I spoke to her, and I'm seeing her head go, yes, yes. See, I've got a very good memory. She was touring Dubai when I spoke to her for the first time, and I was absolutely stoked. She replied immediately. So, without further ado, I mean, this guest is really something special. She's also an intimacy coach. She's also got her own podcast. She helps couples. She also hasn't sent me a bio, so.
She doesn't really need a bio.
She is a bio. So she's also an intimacy coach. She's also got her own podcast. I mean, you guys can head on over to Totally Tracy, Totally Me Tracy, I think that's what it's called, and check her out. This is our guest this evening, Miss Tracy Zimmern Jacobs. Good evening and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, and thank you so much for having me. Lola, it's amazing, your tenacity, firstly. You were quite determined to get me, and I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much. And Carmen, it's lovely to see you again.
Nice to see you again, Tracy. Hey, after what, like 2 years?
Has it been that long? I can't believe
it. Yes.
Yeah, I remember you were a guest on my podcast, Totally Not Taboo, and you spread all your beautiful toys and wares.
I won't lie, I actually watched that episode this morning. I got the link from Carmen, and I watched that episode. I thought you two were very cute on that couch. I mean, learning about the different toys. I would strongly suggest all the Lustful listeners head on over to Tracy's YouTube channel. You guys can find it there. I'm sure we'll get all of the channel links from you in a little bit. So tonight, Lustful listeners, we're doing something a little bit different. We had to pre-record this because Tracy, unfortunately, she's pre-booked for tomorrow night. And we didn't want to let this one go because honestly, for us specifically, for Carmen and myself, this is a very important episode, Tracy. I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. Because last week we had a heartfelt episode about what cheating does to your intimate relationship, right? Now, the Lola's lessons, the whole enterprises, all through the show, everything I do, everything we do, we work very hard on enhancing people's intimacy. We want to create a safe space where people can learn on how to enhance your intimacy. Because let's be honest, there's so much out there, but nobody really combines everything into one. And that's what we want to do here. So we want to speak to you a little bit about finding intimacy again after infidelity. In your opinion, would you say intimacy after infidelity and profound intimacy after infidelity is in fact possible? Do you think it is?
So it is possible. It absolutely is possible. You know, when I think about intimacy after infidelity, for me, it's like looking at the majority of my couples who land up on my couch. And that is that they're always at some point of repair, of needing repair in the relationship, whether it's been from an infidelity, whether they've just are in sexless marriages, whether they are just not, you know, connecting in terms of mismatched libidos, hormonal issues that come up for women. So when I am confronted with a couple, they usually are needing repair of some sort. So I always say to them, first, you know, I get a gauge of how committed are they in this process, sitting on the sofa, you know, like out of 10, how much are they each committed to being there? Mm. And you'll be surprised because sometimes the one who says 9 out of 10 is actually the one who's bringing a lot of resistance. And, you know, and other times you get the 4 out of 10s, and those are the ones I'm like raising an internal eyebrow at and thinking, we need you at like 8 or 9 in order for us to look at repair. So what I'm basically saying is that I spoke about the 4 C's on one of my reels. Mm-hmm. We need, you know, in order to create intimacy in a relationship, and intimacy is connection, right? A lot of people misconstrue the word intimacy. They correct, yeah. Sex. Mm-hmm. And yes, sexual intimacy is definitely one part of creating intimacy. Mm. But, you know, we look at the 4 C's, and the first one is communication. Like, are you ready to start talking, to have a conversation? The second one is, how committed are you to this repair? Because if you're not 100% committed, you know, we've got a question, what's going on? Mm. The third C is consistency, that you show up consistently for the sessions, and that you even do some homework. I don't always give homework, but that the work happens at home as well. I mean, I saw a couple for nearly a year. They did not speak to each other in between sessions.
Wow.
And they continued to come weekly for their sessions just so they could speak, so they had a platform in which to speak on.
Wow. That's profound.
So the first is communication, then commitment, consistency, and then you need curiosity. Because you think you know everything about your partner, but you don't, and especially when it comes to infidelity. You know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And when you're open to receive new information, and you don't assume that you know everything, because when the accused, what are we going to call them? The cheater.
Yeah, the cheater and the cheatee. There we go.
Yeah. When the cheater is in that seat, that therapeutic seat, there's so much going on for that person. We can't make assumptions. We think that, you know, we stereotype all cheaters under one umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And we think it's all about sex, but it's actually got nothing to do with the sex, which we'll get to.
And this is very powerful for me, because you know what? Last week we said exactly the same. We said, you got to remember, it's not only the person that was doing the cheating's fault, right? The person that was cheated on is just as much as fault. You can't always be pointing fingers, and you can't always be assuming that you knew exactly what the circumstances were around, surrounding the cheating. I mean, there's a lot of factors, and I've heard a couple of times that the right circumstances, the right time frame, the right you know, the right environment, you can't always guarantee that you're going to stay faithful. So last week was about avoiding it. This week is about overcoming it. And again, we come back to understanding the fact that you can't always, you don't always necessarily know what the circumstances surrounding the issue at hand was, surrounding the cheating was common.
I find it very interesting, something that you highlighted, Tracy. And I must just say, before I even ask my question, I mean, Tracy has the most beautiful space. It's just got such a calming, stunning vibe. And I think that probably is just quite a blessing for couples to come and visit you, Tracy. I thoroughly enjoyed my time there by you.
Don't make me jealous now.
The part you, you know what? Do you know what? And I even got biscuits and I got coffee. Okay.
You're welcome to both come and have coffee with me and biscuits and sit in my space.
You know, I've already wifey'd, Carmen. We are in a radio relationship, yeah. So one day when we've got intimacy issues, we're going to head on over to Tracy.
Lola, what I remember from my meeting with Tracy was just, it's the breeze, it's the zen, it's an incredibly calming space. And I can imagine for any couple walking in there, who have such challenges, to sit in that kind of space is quite the privilege. But just when you were talking about people who go home and don't communicate, I mean, that is quite challenging for me to think that a year later, they come to only talk to you and they go home and they do no homework. I mean, do you eventually look at these people and say, I cannot help you anymore?
Yeah.
Because takes two to tango.
Yeah. It was very tough. It was a hell of a challenge. And, you know, they came in saying that they're not having any sex and they're not communicating the one particularly want is intimacy. So when we spoke, what is intimacy? It was the connection, it was the touch, it was the holding, it was the sex and so on. And every suggestion, if, you know, we looked at everything, what was going on in the dynamics in the relationship and how they met and so on and so forth. And, you know, every suggestion that I made to for them to step out of the comfort zone, just to stretch where they were at that moment in time, was never followed through. And after a year of really pulling every tool out of my little toolbox, I'm an imago therapist as well. And imago is a therapeutic intervention where we teach the couple how to dialogue in a way that the one listens and the other one is heard and so on, which is the most amazing, amazing form of practice. And I, you know, eventually after a year, and I said, well, what is it that you really want? And he turned to me and he said, I want intimacy. I said, you know what? I'm afraid we've been trying for a year. So if neither one of them was prepared to actually come forward and actually take the step, it was really a difficult one. So that was that. You know, and we talk about corridor sex, you know, when a couple aren't having sex in bed, they're having corridor sex. It's like, fuck you. A lot of people are doing that. You know,
I love that. Each other,
and the only conversations that they have is fuck you, and that's
correct.
It.
Yeah.
This is so true.
Yeah.
In Afrikaans, you say hung sex. It's the same thing. So Tracy, in your experience, okay, going back with couples that you have helped throughout your journey as an intimacy coach, I'm not worried about the statistics and those kind of things right now. What I want to know is mostly, what do people struggle with after infidelity, right? Coming back to intimacy. Okay, so my partner's now cheated. Boo-hoo, I feel very sorry for myself, but I need to get over it. Maybe there's kids involved, or I've found out that I really, truly love this person, and I'm willing to give it a go, give it a bash, and let this person be forgiven and try and move on with my life. What do people struggle with the most to get over after an infidelity situation?
Well, I suppose what you want to hear me say is sex. But that is one in, you know, that's in the whole mix of things. The most important, the thing that they struggle the most with is the the rejection.
Perhaps I should rephrase what I was actually after, the question that I was that I had in my head is, what do people struggle with the most to get back to intimacy after infidelity? Is it the fact that they've been rejected, or is it the fact that they, you know, what do they struggle with to get back to intimacy? What's that one thing that holds them back? Is it the fact that, well, now you've seen another, say for instance, it's the male party that's done the cheating. Is it the fact that, you've been intimate if you touch me, are you thinking of how you touched her? Is it the comparison of body? You know, body dysmorphia is a big thing in today's society. What is the biggest thing, the biggest threshold for couples that they struggle to get over to enable them to get back to intimacy?
I don't think that there's one particular thing. I think there's a whole lot of stuff.
That makes sense.
It's the... Firstly, the person who's been cheated on, the victim, let's call them.
Mm.
You know, they, I don't want to call, victim's not the nice word, but the cheated on.
Cheated, yeah.
You know, there's a massive shock to this self-esteem. They suddenly realize that what they thought was the truth, what they thought was real, is not actually real.
Mm.
It's the shock of realizing that I didn't really know what my life was.
The perception of reality.
So many times I get the story that I actually didn't know my partner.
Mm.
And that's the biggest shock, you know, is that I thought I knew my partner and all of a sudden they're a completely different person.
Mm.
Is that my interference or?
No, I think it was mine. There we go.
They are a completely different person who I don't recognize. So that's the one thing. The other thing is how to get the cheater to take responsibility for the behavior. And not only just to take responsibility, but to actually say, I'm sorry.
Mm.
That is, if you know, that's what that your victim wants is to say to hear, I'm sorry.
That validation.
I'm sorry that I've hurt you. Mm. And there's an acknowledgement of a wrongdoing.
Mm. Okay.
Because you start to then question your own attractiveness, what is wrong with me, was the other person prettier, stronger, had a bigger penis, bigger boobs, did they give a better blowjob, or what was it that
attracted you to them?
That attracted you to them. Mm. So you do, there's a whole lot of self-doubt that starts to come in.
Yeah.
And there's a whole lot of questions that you want to have answered, you know. And these questions can really turn into a marathon of days and weeks and hours of details, what, when, how, with who, what was it like, da 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 da. And sometimes it actually just fuels the fire. All that information is actually, you know, quite dangerous for the mental health. So there's got to be some kind of boundaries around that, but we'll get to it. So for the person who's been cheated on, it's really, yeah, how can I ever trust you? Who are you? I can't let you come near me again sexually. I'm vulnerable. In your mind, you imagine that your partner's comparing you to the other person. There's so much going on. So much going on. It's actually like, it's a whirlwind.
Mm.
It's like an absolute whirlwind. So the best thing we do is we just calm the situation down, you know, and just allow for both of them to have space in the therapeutic situation, just to calmly say what they need to say at that moment and then navigate the conversation accordingly.
Mm.
And do you at any point see them on separate occasions? Because I can imagine that feeling of feeling so less than, and when you said, and that really hit home hard for me, when you said, you know, my life is not as I thought it was. I mean, you're living in a whole different version of your life overnight.
Mm.
Do you do separate couples counseling, or do you always have the couple together?
I like
or does it depend on the case by case?
I like to have them both together because it's very important that the cheater here has some empathy and is curious about their partner and what their partner's going through. Because, you know, there's a difference between saying, "I'm sorry that I hurt you," from saying, "I'm sorry that I've put you through this, and I'm sorry that I've hurt you, and I'm sorry that my actions have caused you such harm." You know, and I'm sorry that I've caused such harm, and what I did by cheating on you has caused you such pain. There's a difference between sitting there saying, "I feel so guilty, and I keep saying I'm sorry, and I keep saying I'm sorry." But without it's still the exactly. And I often have to catch my client and say, "But we're not talking about you now. You know, we want to know how are you making you're taking responsibility. How are you feel? You know, are you feeling empathy for your partner? Can you put yourself in their shoes? What this could feel like?" And that's the difference.
So for me personally, in my lifespan, I've had both spectrums of, you know, of the table. I've sat on both sides of the table. So I've been cheated on. Know what that feels like. It's horrible. I've been the cheater. I know what that feels like. It's horrible. And I'd not that I'm saying people need to go and cheat so that they know what it feels like to be the cheater, but it's also not fun, right? But sometimes it's having been in that situation, you really start getting empathy for the other side of the spectrum, right? It's exactly like you say now, saying that, you know what, and it just so happens that I did the cheating after being cheated on. So I knew exactly, you know, that feeling from my partner at the time, that feeling of I'm struggling to touch you. I'm struggling to even look at you. I'm struggling to speak to you. I wish I rather hated you because it would have been easier. And for me in that moment, being able to say that I'm sorry that what I have done to you has hurt you so tremendously. I'm sorry for the pain that I have caused you in this moment because you did not deserve that. And until you really find or really see that pain in your partner, I think up until then, you won't truly be sorry, because you can only be sorry once you've realized what you have done, what your actions, what repercussions your actions have actually had on somebody that you have claimed to love. So, I think that's a very powerful statement.
You know, and I've seen it in front of me, you know, thinking about another couple where the cheater, but I've told her, I'm sorry. I don't know what else I can say. I don't know what, and then what happens is that they go out and he will go and flirt with somebody that he knows. And I don't know, he won't introduce his wife to these other. So there's no action. He's not putting in the action to show how sorry he is. You know, he's continuing making her feel as though she's insecure and she can't trust him. So when I would say, well, in what way are you sorry? How are you showing that you're sorry? Because there has to be some kind of accountability.
Accountability. You know, yes.
There has to be some kind of, you know, there's a triangle of trust. And we've got to know that for there to be trust, there has to be honesty and there has to be accountability. Right. And if he's not showing up like that, well, then how can you ever foster health I've lost my head. It's quite late. foster repair.
Repair.
Trust. Trust. Yeah.
Carmen?
Well, we've all lost our heads around here, so you're in the right place. I'm curious around how you deal with a situation that goes something like this. So we just spoke about Trust Post and the fact that any action that that cheater does post the cheating is going to cause a sensitivity.
Mm.
So they're going to be the bad guy for quite some time to come, okay? To which extent do you help clients deal with the fact that this, the cheater post-cheating is really trying hard to repair this? They have said they're sorry for hurting all of your feelings, okay? They've been clear and honest. They've taken accountability. And the moment they look at their phone, the cheatee will still get upset. So how do you deal with you know what? Cheaters cheat. They've cheated. Mm. They've repented. They've taken accountability. We can't be punishing them for the next 100 years. Mm. So how do we deal with that scenario?
Mm. Well, we teach them empathy. And we teach them that through communication and making sure that we're always communicating to each other, with each other. Mm-hmm. So, for example, babe, I'm going to accept a phone call now, or this is an email from office, you know, and I know that you might be feeling insecure at the moment, so I'm going to show you what I'm doing.
Brilliant.
Or go out for dinner and I'm going to put my phone away. So I'm committed to you. I'm looking at you. I'm having dinner with you and the phone is not more important than
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, this is amazing. So
it's creating the empathy and the space for the cheater to be able to acknowledge I'm doing something different now to show you
and avoid those triggers.
Yeah. Correct.
Mm. What I also
so basically you're teaching them how to have a super healthy relationship.
Yes.
Which I should have had in the first place. Personally, I've also found that not necessarily sharing social media, because I think that's like a very dickish thing to do, but having passwords to social media. If your phone has a lock on it, sharing your lock code with your partner, where it was always locked because you were cheating, now saying to your partner, okay, I want to still keep my phone locked for security reasons, but here is the unlock code. Let me add your fingerprint, you know, to my phone. You can access my phone and all of my emails and my messages whenever you feel the need. You know, just that validation and finding that comfort in, okay, everything's not locked and hidden away from me anymore. I've actually got access. And whenever I feel the need, maybe not saying to your partner that, or maybe not waiting for your partner to go to bed and then checking the phone, but saying to your partner, I feel something's going on at the moment. Would you mind if I take your phone? Would you share your phone with me? I want to see it. And then I think that's a very healthy way of bridging that trust, or starting to rebuild that trust, going into repairing your intimacy. Last for listeners, you are on air this evening. Tonight is Friday night, right? But we are actually in Thursday night. So you are listening to Lola's Lessons, episode or lesson number 9 in semester number 3 of Lola's Lessons. We are joined this evening by the charismatic and gorgeous Tracy Zimmern Jacobs, and she has so gracefully agreed to join us on this episode called Intimacy After Infidelity. We are now going to go to a slight commercial break. I mean, we're not going to have a commercial break, but you guys need a commercial break, because you guys need to go and refill your drinks, get into your sexy lingerie, and like repair your intimacy, right? I'm going to give about 5 minutes, then we are going to restart. But if you guys, lustful listeners, you guys can have about 10 to 15 minutes break, okay? Moderators, I'll let you know how much tomorrow night or tonight, whichever it may be. I mean, this is the twilight zone, right? So, and we are going to break now. Welcome back, Lustful listeners. That felt like 5 seconds.
Time flies when you're having fun.
So we have just come back from a short commercial break. I mean, you guys had a commercial break. We had no break, I'm just saying. We started a little bit late this evening. Not this evening, but last night's evening. This is insanity. It's breaking my brain. But we're having the most amount of fun. Look, Lustful listeners, this is a very serious topic this evening. We are talking about intimacy after infidelity. It's a follow-up on last week, the cheaters class, classifying cheating and eliminating infidelity. Right? That was last week's episode with the wonderful Kaz. She was joining us in studio. Lola did a live polygraph. It was lots of fun. I was very nervous. I mean, I had sweaty fingertips. This evening, we are not nervous, but we are serious, right? Because intimacy is not only a serious and a sacred topic, but it's also a very difficult topic to rebuild and rediscover after infidelity. And this evening we've got the wonderful charismatic Tracy joining us for this episode. It's so, so, so fabulous having you this evening. I mean, we've really waited for months for this. So thank you once again for sharing your evening with us and sharing your knowledge and your wisdom. Being an intimacy coach and I'm also having her own podcast, Tracy has dealt with intimacy after infidelity on numerous occasions, and myself and Carmen are absolutely in awe of her this evening. Welcome back, Tracy. Welcome back, Carms. So before the break, we were chatting about having empathy for the situation and how do we actually start to rebuild and re-sculpt, like sculpture, you know, how do we start to weave back into intimacy after infidelity? And Tracy, do you think there would ever be real permanent damage where you can say this marriage, this relationship is done for. It's not going to work. You've had infidelity between the two of you. I mean, maybe both of you have been unfaithful to one another. There's no chance of reconciliation. Have you seen cases like that?
No, but I have seen cases where the victim, the cheatee, just cannot get beyond it.
Get over it.
There has been a case where they just could not move beyond the infidelity. And I have to say that in this case that I'm thinking of particularly, this client had a lot of pressure from her friends and family. You know, how can you take him back? And are you crazy? And get rid of him. He's a dog. If he can do it once, he can do it again.
Conforming to societal.
Yeah. And you know, the thing is, what people don't realize is that, you know, they are not the ones who have to sit with bringing up children alone.
Correct.
Having to get over, you know, sitting with the loneliness, sitting with the pain. Sometimes it's easier just to not forgive and forget, but definitely to choose the marriage and work on the marriage instead of just ending it. And choosing the marriage to some people would be like, are you joking? Are you crazy? How can you give them another chance? Like, what is wrong with you? You know, but if the cheater is in a position where they are really remorseful and really, really want to make things work. I mean, isn't that such a blessing compared to a messy divorce and a financial divorce, you know, the strain, financial strain, and putting the children through such upheaval. So, I think the most important thing for me, and as you were speaking, Lola, really just the cheat, so, you mentioned something earlier. You said that both parties are responsible. You know, you got to take responsibility, both of you. And where I absolutely do agree with you, there are some instances where it's got nothing to do with the cheatee. Nothing to do with the cheatee. That the cheater is the one who really, really has to work on themselves,
mm.
has to really find out what was going on in their lives at that moment that they needed to seek validation or whatever it was. Because very often cheating is not about the sex.
Mm.
And we also, according to research and things, couples who are having sex also experience infidelity.
Mm.
Very often it's about the cheater and not about the cheatee. Mm. And what happens is that the cheatee takes on all that responsibility, sits with all that pain, self-loathing, I'm not enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not strong, whatever it is, whatever the case. When really it's the cheater who really needs to work on themselves and find out what is it that they need to be working on. You know, and very often it comes from childhood. In fact, all our relationship stuff that we bring into our adult relationships come from our childhood.
Them from childhood.
And that you can take poison on.
Mm. I mean, last week we discovered that, you know, you get different forms of cheating. You get social media cheating. You get emotional cheating. You get, what was the other ones? I can't remember all of them.
It was object cheating.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do know that there is different forms of cheating, and some like you say now, it's not always just about the sex. You and your partner can be having the most amazing sex, but you lack intimacy in other ways. You lack communication. You lack comfort. You lack something else, and then you go and find it somewhere else. Comes.
You lack self-esteem as the cheater, and you're seeking validation elsewhere. We spoke about that at length last week.
Correct, yeah.
But there's something quite beautiful about the work that you do, Tracy, because if I look around on, you know, any of my social media area groups, you know, you'll find the post where my husband was cheating and everyone's going, just pack your bags and leave now and off you go. And I think there's so much value in actually rolling up your sleeves. Mm. And actually hearing each other and actually trying to understand and putting in that effort that builds for the most incredible relationship thereafter.
Mm.
Carmen, you've just hit the nail on the head. And when I was talking about having that communication, you have to be committed. You have to show up. You have to show up consistently. Yeah. You have to be willing to hear with both ears. And there has to be a little bit of humility on the side of the cheater, you know, to be able to say, to be empathic, put yourself in your partner's shoes, listen. Even if you've heard your partner crying over and over again in pain, and this could be going on, you have to sit through their pain.
Mm.
You've got to give them space. Mm-hmm. To have their pain. And if you keep rolling your eyes, not this again, not that again, your partner will never ever have an opportunity to feel safe that they are heard.
Mm.
And that's why in this dialogue that we use with Imago, it's really about you have a sender, you have a receiver, and the sender could be, let's say the cheatee. And they could be saying, you know, I really felt like this. And it could be the 10th time that the cheater's heard it. I feel like this. And when I think about that, it makes me feel like that. And then the receiver will say, what I heard you say is, when I think of that, it makes me feel this. Did I get you? Tell me more.
Mm.
That's the curiosity. So then it allows the cheatee to be able to say, and I really hate you for it because it makes me feel like I'm worthless.
Mm.
And then they respond. Mm. So what I heard you say is you really hate me for this because it makes you feel worthless. Did I get that? Tell me more. And you've got to give the pain space. Yeah, you were going to say something.
Give the pain space. Wow.
Yeah.
So I actually needed you and this advice like 4 months ago. Okay. So in my very own relationship, I got this, babe, you're not hearing what I'm telling you. And I'm going, but I am hearing you. And he's like, just put yourself in my shoes. I'm like, but you walk around barefoot. How am I supposed to be putting myself in my shoes? And this was the conflict. Okay. I think it was about 3 weeks and like 8 chapters of WhatsApp, chats later, where the penny finally dropped. And I said, wow, I finally get it. And I'm really sorry for saying that because I finally understand now how it made you feel. That took 3 weeks for one sentence.
But this is something that I swear by this religiously, right? And I preach this to everybody that I speak to. Listen to listen. Stop listening to respond. Because while you busy talking and we arguing, I'm already thinking of the next thing that I'm going to throw at you, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, I got to win this fight. I don't care. I got to win this fight because I'm right. Right? So I want to get my point across.
Your lead is right.
Yes. In a relationship, you got to take a step back. You got to add that humility factor. You got to say, you know what? I'm going to pause right now because us is important. Me is important after us. You is important after us. Let's do us is important. I'm going to stand back. Let you have your say. I'm going to listen to listen, not listen to respond. And then you can add what Tracy just said. This is what I've heard you said. Did I get this right?
Yes.
And repeat that so that you and your partner are on the same page. I think this is absolutely powerful stuff. Mm. Tracy, thank you for that.
It's a pleasure, and there's so much, there's a little bit more that goes into that communication, because you keep saying to your partner, tell me more, and tell me more, shows the curiosity, and you do have to keep checking in with yourself as the receiver, that you're not reacting, that you're not becoming defensive. That you're not making assumptions, that you're not thinking of the next thing to say.
Yeah.
That you're completely present in the moment, and all you're doing, you're only there for your partner.
Mm.
You're only there to listen to what your partner has to say. As you said, Lola, you said it perfectly, that I'm here to listen to you. I'm irrelevant right now.
Mm.
What I'm thinking and feeling is irrelevant. I'm here for you to listen to you with curiosity. And then when you've asked, is there more, and there's no more, then to show that you've been present, the receiver will then sum up everything. So what I heard you say is, you hate me because I've made you feel worthless. And every time you think of me, blah, 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 blah. And the receiver will sum up everything.
Mm.
And then there's a process called validation, where if you've really been into that, you know, really, we call it being on one another's island. If you've really been on your partner's island, you know, you can then validate them in a way that makes sense. So I hear what you're saying, and I validate what you're saying.
Mm.
And if I were you, I would be very, very hurt now as well. So you validate the behavior.
Yeah.
You know, you can even say sorry at that moment. And I'm so sorry that made you feel like that. Mm. And then you top it off with empathy. So I guess you might be feeling shattered, or even maybe, you know, after the sharing and the tell me more, maybe you can feel that your partner's feeling relieved. So you can even say, so invalidating, I get this and it makes sense to me because blah, blah, blah. And I guess that maybe now you're feeling relieved.
Mm.
Oh,
sure.
You know, to get that off your chest.
That's powerful.
And then it allows your sender to say, no, actually, I'm not feeling relieved. I'm still pissed off, you know. So and that's okay. Mm. That has got to be okay.
Give them space for the emotions to, you know, the emotion needs to work itself out. There's no rushing emotions. You can't put a timestamp on that shit, right?
No. And especially when we're working in repair. Yes. That's what's happening, right? Yeah. We want to repair this broken relationship.
Mm.
And Esther Perel says the most beautiful thing. I just love it. She says, a marriage, you can get married more than once in your lifetime to the same person.
Mm.
So the first marriage is over.
Mm.
The infidelity's happened. If that marriage, as it looked like, is finished, let's start a new one. Let's get remarried.
Mm.
You can even have the ceremony.
Mm.
And this is the new relationship, the new marriage looks like we communicate better. We are open. We are honest. We can sit and hear each other. We can listen. We can be open and transparent. And we can actually start to have these conversations. Listen, I'm feeling a bit niggly, or I'm feeling like you're not seeing me. I'm feeling like my secretary's paying more attention to me than you are. I'm feeling like a pot plant. So we teach this part. You know, we teach this couple how to speak,
so that how they to communicate. Can
Yeah.
Well, comms, you had something.
I love that. I love that because as we grow up and grow older, we also change as individuals. And so you do need to evolve. Go back. We had that relationship design discussion. We loved that phrase.
Yes, the relationship design is our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you redesign.
And you rebuild and you redesign as you go. I mean, it makes perfect sense.
I've got one last question, Tracy. Do you find that a couple's rebuilding the relationship post-intimacy or post-infidelity, right? Do you find that these couples have less boundaries? Because I've found, personally, that boundaries are very important in a relationship, right? Especially when you start with those building blocks. It's imperative that you set in your boundaries. This is what I'm going to allow. This is what I'm not going to allow. Now, you get to a point where I have overstepped not only your boundaries, but my own boundaries, okay, within the relationship. And in order for us to repair, I need to now let go of some of my boundaries because maybe some of my boundaries was having my own privacy, right? I'm now having to demolish some of my boundaries that I had in our relationship. How do you restructure your boundaries post-infidelity? I mean, I'm asking because boundaries to me are very important. Mm. I need to have my boundaries. If I don't have boundaries, I'm not a happy person, right? Mm. How does that look like? What does that look like to people? Well,
you were talking about like setting codes on the phones and passwords and things like that.
Mm.
That's kind of like my boundary was so strict about don't touch my phone. And now I'm prepared to open that boundary and give you access to my phone. So I think that's what I got from what you were saying.
Yes.
And, you know, also sexual boundaries, you know, also Esther Perel says that having sometimes when there is infidelity, we have the opportunity to talk about that sexual side of ourselves, our erotic, the erotic side of ourselves that we found, that lost part of ourselves that we found in this affair, right? And we all get to a stage in a relationship, as I said, where things come to a little bit of a stale stage, right? And sometimes that's when I see a lot of couples. And what's happened is that they become companions, but there's no sex. There's no eros. There's no passion. And so what happens is that the cheater will rediscover that passion and that eros with somebody else.
Mm.
But the truth is that you might find that both partners want to actually rediscover that eros together on their own. So in a way, it opens the door to another conversation about what are we missing out in terms of our erotic sexual relationship. Definitely not comparing what the one partner did during the the affair.
Yeah, that's counterproductive.
It's opening up a conversation where this is the sex that I really want to be having.
Mm.
And the sex that we have been having hasn't been great sex.
And, wonderful.
And let's talk about our fantasies. Let's talk about just getting the sex we want that we haven't been having. And I must say, it's a tough conversation to have if you think about it, because your GT needs to be coming from a very adult place, from a place of we're getting married, we're learning about each other again, as you said, as different people, wanting new things, not the same. And what's her name? Emily Nagoski. She says that when there is a sexless marriage, we've often got to ask the person who's shut down, were you enjoying the sex that you were having?
Mm.
And very often the answer is no.
No.
So, and that's the reason why they've shut down. So if you were having the sex that you really want, what would it look like?
What would it look like?
And that's very often like a quite an honest conversation to have with your partner. Very, very important conversation. Women, we tend to just keep quiet and instead of saying a little to the left, a little to the right.
Absolutely. This is so true.
We keep quiet and then we end up feeling unsatisfied.
And that's on us.
This is so true. This is really, really, really so true. Start opening. And didn't I just fight with the lustful listeners a couple of weeks ago? And I said, you got to start communicating the most because there's no communication. I don't know if I just, bowed out or if they bowed out or. What happened? Yeah, hold on.
No, you reconnecting here.
Am I reconnecting? Okay, because both of you guys are reconnecting. Okay, but we still have, there we go. Sorry, we just went back after load shedding. It's been an insane evening in the dark and in the hot. I'm sitting here flustered. And for a change, it's not because we've got a hot topic. it's because of heat. Bless listeners, this evening we were joined by the wonderful Tracy. Tracy, we cannot thank you enough for sharing your evening with us and sharing your knowledge with us. Tell our lustful listeners, where do they get hold of you? How do they go and learn more about you? Because normally we've got moderators that share your links on the show. Mm. I mean, it's a whole production. It's a vibe. You must come and check it out on Friday night. So normally we've got the moderators sharing. So moderators, please take notes of this because you've got to be sharing this in any case. How do our lustful listeners get hold of you?
So a lot of people find me, my website, which is www.totallyme.co.za. And then all my social handles is totallymetracy. And that's without an E, totallymetracy. That's TikTok and Instagram and Facebook and now Threads and yeah.
All of the above.
Yeah, so just send me an email on the website www.totallyme.co.za or just DM me in my socials, totallymetracy.
Wonderful.
I must thank you, ladies. It's been amazing to be here with the two of you. And this is just a passion of mine. Love to spread the word, love to, passion to actually just help couples improve and repair their relationship. So this was
thank you so much. Well, thank you. We really appreciate it and we really had fun this evening. I think I personally learned a lot. Carms?
I don't feel like I'm ready to let Tracy go.
Oh, you've got another question. Okay.
It's about it.
Fine, let's do it.
I've thoroughly enjoyed this because the tremendous amount of value, it really goes a long way in helping the listeners. But I just had one final question for Tracy and then a comment for the wonderful Lola, which we'll get to after. Tracy, what legitimately gets you out of bed in the morning to do this for people? What drives you to
That's
do it?
That's such a good question.
I'm curious.
Oh, it's such a great question. I think it's, what a great question. It's about, can I save a marriage? Can I save a relationship? Can I, it's a real, not a need of mine, but it's such a big desire of mine to be able to save marriages because it's so worth it. It's easy to get divorced. It's hard to do the work.
Yeah.
And there's so much reward at the end of the day when you're prepared to be doing the work.
Sure.
Yeah.
See, look at that.
I mean, not a dry eye in the house.
That was beautiful. You see why I needed to know.
Thank you, Tracy. Thank you for what you do for society. I mean, it's really, it's powerful and it's profound.
Very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate that feedback. Thank you.
Sure. Yes, Carmen, you had something for me too. What was that?
You know, I think we communicate really well and just want to manage your expectation. So the next embargo we embark on, okay, Tracy's given us all the guidance now.
Yes,
I like to end mine off in a hug.
Okay.
Okay. Can we just make sure that's all included?
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
Hug and all. I mean.
Hug and all.
We are hugging the most on Lola's lessons. Let's quickly get to, let's quickly get to the show planning so that we can tell the lustful listeners what's coming up. Although we've realized now we don't really like doing this, right? Because Carmen keeps on adding shows to the list. Like she just wants to do
That's
the most. Her superpower is adding extra shows. What do we have in store for you guys next week? Next week we are doing lust. Looks a lot like love. What is lust, lustful listeners? What is love, lustful listeners? Also, we have got two absolutely beautiful guests. You guys have heard them in the production a little bit earlier during the seasons. Miss Annika Lip Tantric is joining us again, as well as Miss Tara Rose. These two are friends. They both, I know, this is going to be a whole vibe, right? Teachers and both absolutely gorgeous people, also friends. So this is going to be a very interesting episode. After that, we have got something very special for you guys. We have got, wait, let me just get to the name of that show. It's called something like Dale, I can't remember. Wait, here we go. And now my phone won't search it.
Dirty Little Secrets.
Dale's Dirty Little Secrets, yeah. But
Dale's Dirty Little Secrets.
Dale's Dirty Little Secrets. Because Dale Robin is a comedian, right? And Dale Double D joins us as the delight of Dale's Dirty Little Secrets with her comedy show on sex. That's going to be a whole vibe as well. And then the week after that, we end the show, we end the season with the Carmen Cut, where Carmen has convinced Lola that she needs to be the interviewer and I need to be the interviewee. You guys don't want to miss that one. I mean, I want to miss that one, but you guys don't want to miss that one. This is
all of my secret notes will be revealed.
I'm nervous.
Finally. Can I? Waiting this long.